Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we get going with this episode, check out what's going on over at Patreon. Here's a preview of Guest Alarmist, where I step aside and let a guest walk us through a personal tragedy, and together we figure out who's to blame.
Truly, I think I even remember as I walked back to my car being like, come on, man, like, fuck, like, just yeah. Like... And he didn't care. I was even questioning, like, how much do I tell him? I hoped that he had seen it in my eyes when I said, even for an emergency?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a good plea. If you're watching the video, I feel like that's really good. If you had done that to me, I would have been like, yeah, all right.
Sympathy. Empathy for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't believe there was no rule bending in that moment.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Chris Benoit double murder-suicide. Here's what you need to know.
Former champion Chris Benoit found dead in his Atlanta home along with his wife and young son.
Double homicide, suicide.
He was found hanging by a pulley used for weightlifting. Anabolic steroids were indeed found in the home.
Chris Benoit, also known as the Canadian Crippler and the Rabid Wolverine, was one of the most decorated pro wrestlers in history. He held over 30 titles in a career that spanned across 5 different organizations. He was a notorious tough guy who was idolized by his peers, but underneath the surface was a man capable of the darkest extremes imaginable. Born in Montreal, Ontario in 1967 to Michael and Margaret Benoit, Chris looked up to Bret Hart and Tom Dynamite Kid Billington. When Benoit was old enough, he joined Stampede Wrestling based in Calgary, Alberta. From there, he went on to perform for New Japan Pro Wrestling, WCW, ECW, and WWF. In 1994, during an event called November to Remember, Benoit faced off against Terrence Michael Brunk, known by his wrestling name Sabu. The two were performing a complicated move when something went awry, and Sabu landed awkwardly on his neck. Benoit retreated to the locker room and was noticeably shaken at the possibility that he may have paralyzed his fellow wrestler. Sabu suffered nerve damage, but was able to return to the ring after a few weeks. The incident caused Paul Heyman, the lead booker for ECW at the time, to call Benoit the Crippler and showcase him as a heel character. It propelled Benoit's career to another level.
You know, I came here for one reason, and one reason only, and that is to be the best.
In 1995, Benoit met Nancy Sullivan. At the time, she was a wrestling manager and model, married to Kevin Sullivan, another wrestler known as the Taskmaster. An affair between Benoit and Sullivan was scripted to amplify Benoit's bad boy image, and the fake affair became real. In 2000, Benoit and Sullivan had a child together, Daniel, and were married a few months later.
My family, the sacrifices they've made themselves, the sacrifices they've made with me, for me to be where I'm at today, and for me to be who I am today, means something to me, means something to the world, means something to my wife and to my kids.
Nancy Benoit managed her husband's career from their home in the suburbs of Atlanta. But in 2003, she filed for divorce and filed a restraining order on her husband, citing, quote, cruel treatment. She dropped the suit as well as the restraining order shortly thereafter. Over a two-day period from June 22nd to June 24 of 2007, Chris Benoit murdered his wife Nancy and their seven-year-old son Daniel at their home in Fayetteville, Georgia. Both Nancy and Daniel had been suffocated, and both had Bibles by their bodies. On the evening of the 24th, Chris Benoit rigged coaxial cables to a weightlifting machine and used it as a noose to take his own life. The news shocked the pro wrestling world and brought new attention to the effects of head trauma and steroid use in the sport. Fun facts, aka death stats. Though found in Chris's body, the use of anabolic steroids became illegal in 1991 under the Controlled Substances Act. Chris's wife and son were apparently killed hours apart. However, Chris did not die by suicide until quite a significant time later, leading many to believe it was deliberate. After the murders, Benoit's name and career were scrubbed from the WWE website. In July 2016, 53 professional wrestlers filed a lawsuit against WWE, looking to hold the organization accountable for their long-term neurological injuries due to multiple concussions and CTE. No clear motive was ever found for Chris Benoit's murder spree. The only way to definitively diagnose CTE is after death during an autopsy of the brain. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is a return guest to The Alarmist. She's an Alarmy fan favorite. We have Deanna Ortiz on the show.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Welcome back. Deanna, as you know, is a comedian, and she's also now the host of the Bedtime True Crime audio series, Pillow Talk, from sleep wellness company Hatch. Deanna, can you tell us a little bit about your new podcast?
Yeah. So it's from this sleep company Hatch, and their whole thing is to like get the phone out of the bedroom, unwind. Like they were releasing content just to help people like relax at time for bed. And what better way to relax than true crime?
I would subscribe. Yes.
My series is it's all about like non-murdery true crime. So I do a lot of heists. I do a lot of robberies. I did one recently where a guy stole like millions of dollars and then used it all to fund adult entertainment videos. Oh, wow. So, you know, it's just really interesting, wild and weird crimes. There was another one where like this guy escaped from jail and then he flew a helicopter to go pick up his girlfriend in the same jail. Like, it's out of control. Super
honestly,
fun.
That's a love story.
It's a romantic love story.
It's like the PG version of true crime so that, you know, for the kids can listen.
That's exactly it. It's good for the whole family. And so the idea is that like I tell you these stories and like, you know, helping you drift to sleep so you're not just like, you know, on your phone all night doom scrolling.
Right.
I
instead,
love that.
Let me.
It's for a good cause, too. Like you're really helping humanity.
I am. Yes, I'm very.
Thank you for your service.
Selfless in that way.
Deanna, so we like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night? This is appropriate. Yeah.
Sincerely, we just had an election in Chicago, and so that was keeping me up of you know, just general election anxiety because it is coming, you know, down the line. The bigger elections are coming. Seriously that, and then unseriously, all the hate that Jennifer Lopez is getting on TikTok right now, that is keeping me up at night.
Wait, what?
I don't know about
the
hate.
What are they saying?
What are they saying about our queen?
Or her new movie, I will flip my shit.
When I tell you I am up all night just reporting anything that people are, if you release an anti-JLo TikTok, I'm gonna report it for fraud.
Okay.
And that's exactly it. They're critiquing her documentary, they're critiquing the movie because the documentary is like, you know, everyone's like, oh, she's so cringe, and I'm like, who cares, it's JLo, like that's what we get, that's what we're getting.
She's America's sweetheart. Okay?
thank you.
You have JLo levels of success, you're allowed to be as cringe as you want to be.
Exactly. Like she has her butt insured for millions of dollars. She can do whatever she wants.
I sincerely feel
that way.
I'm right there with you. And you know, obviously I watched both. I highly recommend.
We did share a few looks during the when we watched it together.
It's a wonderful watch. You know, just shut your mind off and watch.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, you're kind of like, oh yeah, but it's in the same way that like a dear friend is like embarrassing you. You're like, girl, you're crazy, Jenny. Yeah. Like, Jenny, come on, get out of here.
It also like, feels like, you know, it's her first one. Yes. You know, like we go and support our friends who just, you know, did their first movie, and we're really
J-Lo's
happy
first
for
documentary.
Them. Yeah, it's her first documentary. Well, it's not her first documentary, but it's her, you know, first film, I guess, you know, the album film, whatever you want to call it. And she did it. She wrote it herself. Go for it, girl.
Self-funded.
Yeah. You know, with millions and millions of dollars.
She funded it by herself. Okay.
Right.
With her millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. She believes in herself.
If she crowdsourced that, then maybe you could critique it more, but it wasn't a crowdsourced project.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I mean, she eventually sold it. Spoiler alert. If you're about to watch the documentary, I'm sorry.
And I think that when people are done listening to this episode, they should watch the documentary.
Yeah, that's the
perfect. It's like a sister piece together.
Yes. Well, I'm having a hard time figuring out how we're going to transition. It's this very dark, sad tragedy from JLo. But like JLo, you know, celebrity and success, you know, it's not always glitz and glamour. There's a dark side.
Beautiful. That was really good.
I'm getting better, you guys.
You are.
But so Chris Benoit. Now, are any of you wrestling fans? I feel like Chris, you might
Chris
be.
Is.
I was, yeah, when I was a kid. I was. I've fallen off since like high school. But I do remember Chris Benoit in the 90s. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he seems like he was larger than life, as many of these wrestlers were. And, you know, the 90s seemed like a very... I mean, I know that WWE and like wrestling is having a comeback now, right?
It's always been very
coming
popular.
Back?
I mean, I know it has its peaks and valleys, but it's remarkably like consistent in terms of popularity. I mean, people just love it. They go nuts over it.
Yeah. So Chris Benoit, he was a big, a very popular wrestler of his time. And sadly, you know, his family and was found murdered. And they later found that he had died by suicide. And it had been, it was a, I mean, it's terrible. It was his wife, his young boy. And
he did it. And the way you just said it, I mean, made it sound like he might not
have
done it.
No. Oh, wait. We need to get something off the. Yeah, no, for sure. Well, I should, let's talk about what happened, because we know we gave you a little description about who he was and, you know, the state of wrestling, but the crime in particular.
Okay.
It's very gruesome, so. This is from All That's Interesting. On June 24th, 2007, Chris Benoit was scheduled to appear at a pay-per-view fight called Vengeance, Night of Champions in Houston, Texas, where he was expected to win the Extreme Championship Wrestling World Championship. But Benoit never showed up. That same day, his friend Chavo Guerrero, the nephew of the late wrestler Eddie Guerrero, received a strange message from the wrestler. Benoit had written, "The dogs are in the enclosed pool area and the back door is open," and texted Guerrero his address. Sports Kita reports that Benoit's messages didn't cause Guerrero any concern until he learned that Benoit hadn't shown up at the pay-per-view fight. Then he alerted WWE authorities, who called the police. They went to Benoit's house in Fayetteville, Georgia, which he shared with Nancy and 7-year-old Daniel, and found a gruesome scene. All three were dead. According to the New York Times, Nancy was found with her hands and feet tied with blood under her head. Daniel was found in bed, and Chris Benoit was found hanging from a weight machine cable in his home gym. Investigators soon determined that as early as June 22nd, 2007, Chris Benoit murdered Nancy and Daniel before killing himself. Nancy was strangled first, possibly in a rage. Next, it appears that Benoit gave his son Xanax, then smothered him. And then before Chris Benoit died by suicide, he did some online searches. Benoit searched for the easiest way a person could break their neck. Benoit went into the family's home gym, according to Talk Sports, and tied a cable around its neck, attached it to the highest weight on the weight machine, and let go.
Yes.
So, I mean, absolutely gruesome. Horrific.
Yeah,
so
yeah, really gruesome, really horrific. His son was 7. It's just brutal. It's very, very sad and scary.
Mm-hmm. But there are, so, I mean, we should definitely start off by putting Chris Benoit up on the board.
Yes.
We won't forget to do that. But there's a lot of circumstances also surrounding his state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
So why don't we put the wrestling industry, the pressures of the wrestling industry.
Okay.
Up on
start
the board.
Sort of broadly like that. I like
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm. We'll start broad. We'll get specific.
Really narrow it down. Cause like I did a little bit of research before this, but like it did sound like they had just taken wrestling off of like a real, like it's a real sport kind of deal, so that they could have the performers like juice and do steroids and just get as big as possible. That he was like training for this big match, so like he was just like really, outside of doing all of the, you know, head trauma, all that stuff, he was really just pushing himself to the utmost to get this award, to get this
I think you're right, and I think he had been doing that for a while. He had been pushing himself. Now, this is from Wrestling Inc. Talking about finding Benoit backstage after the match, Chris Jericho said on Talk is Jericho, "After the match was done, I went looking for him. I couldn't find him anywhere. I found him in the boiler room doing squats. And I said, 'What are you doing?' And he said, 'You know, I never should have bumped off that. That was so unprofessional of me. And it was such a bad rookie mistake. I had to do squats.' He did 500 squats as like purging himself for making that mistake. You know, when you hear things like that, when that kind of, you kind of equate it to the last few days, there was a lot of issues with him. It goes without saying that this is a very odd behavior that Benoit thought
he would have to put himself through physical pain because of a botched spot nobody even noticed. Shows Benoit's mindset even as a younger man. Mm-hmm. This is from All Things Interesting. At least one person continues to defend the wrestler who killed his family, Benoit's father. Mike told ABC News that the blame for Benoit's death lies at the feet of the pro wrestling industry itself. Quote, I think if Benoit had been anything other than a professional wrestler, he would still be alive. I would like people to have an understanding that the tragedy that took place in 2007 happened because of his career choice. Mm-hmm. So a lot of pressure, I guess. And, you mm-hmm. know, this is also linked with the steroid use that was mm-hmm. Abundant. Mm-hmm. In the late 90s.
Yeah, and in sports in general, it was abundant. And then, as Deanna was saying, it's like in wrestling, you know, there were probably even fewer sort of obstacles or regulations in place yeah. to kind of make sure it wasn't going on.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that they, that, like Deanna said, how they changed the classification of the sport to like, it seems really kind of sinister if they change it so that they could juice more. That mm-hmm. to me seems mm-hmm. like problematic versus like, oh, they happened to change it so people just started juicing more.
Yeah. Or that.
Right. Put that so on the I board guess. Some?
Yeah. What is that technically? So, Deanna, they changed it from.
I would say it's like sport. Vince McMahon. Like, that is his call. He's the, yeah. the guy in charge of it all. That I would put, I would honestly put him on every board. Yeah. But yeah, I would say Vince McMahon.
Okay.
Throw him up there. Definitely.
Assassination of Julius Caesar.
Yeah, that's probably him.
Henry VIII. Yeah, you got it.
I stand by this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like his calls and his, you know, the way that he moves the wrestlers around to choose who's going to win each one, you know, and they're mm-hmm. fighting to impress him and they're fighting to, you know, be on his good side to make it so that, you know, he's that they get to be the number one wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's interesting. Something I was learning about was that in the 90s, I'm forgetting what this is called. This has a name, maybe you know, Chris. But they would pretend, like, I feel like nowadays wrestlers have this persona, and once the cameras shut off, like, they also have, like, a personal life, right? But in the 90s, oh, right. they also lived their persona.
Kayfabe.
So, kayfabe! Okay.
How do I know that? Where did that come from in my head?
How do you know that?
I have no idea.
That's amazing. Yeah, wait, great poll, yeah. Deanne.
So, kayfabe. So, they used to, you know, only hang out with the other wrestlers that were technically their friends. They wouldn't hang out with their enemies in real life.
Yeah, and yes. if they were a mean heel type of character, they had to maintain that kind mm-hmm. of persona if fans ran into them. Or like mm-hmm. limps, like injuries that happened in the wrestling ring, they had to like keep wearing the like a cast on their arm or whatever if they broke it, if they quote broke it.
Oh, I see.
It's just continuing the narrative.
So that if
that
they
is
got
method
seen.
Acting at its yeah. finest.
Yeah, really.
It's
it
like
is.
True commitment.
Yeah. Because he was a heel, right? Like
he was.
He was a heel. And he, the way he met his wife was also through this. So Nancy was a, I guess what they called at the time, a wrestling manager. She wasn't a wrestler. She was like a model slash manager, but they were also involved in the, you know, in the drama of the wrestling ring. So she would come out and introduce the wrestler, and she was married to another wrestler named Kevin Sullivan. That's his name, right?
Yeah, and he was Sullivan. I think he was a booker, like a one of the sort of decision makers.
He was called the Taskmaster. I guess that was his wrestling name. And the story that came out was that Chris Benoit was or you know, his character was having an affair with his wife Nancy.
Hmm.
And so behind the scenes, what was really going on was like Chris Benoit had a wife. She was pregnant at the time. She was like apparently very nervous that these kinds of stories were being told. On the other hand, Nancy and Kevin were going through some marital, you know, problems. I think they were like separated or something. But what happens is that to keep up the appearance of the story, Nancy and Chris start going out to dinners, start, you know, being seen out in public, like hanging out for real.
They kayfabe.
Yeah. They kayfabed into a love, into love, yeah, into real love. And so Chris, the both of them got divorced and then ended up getting together and having a child.
That's really good gossip. That's really like when it's like, no, it's fake. And then it's like, wait, is it real? That feeds such into the wrestling. Like, what is real and what is fake? And it's like, well, I guess.
I know.
They kayfabed so much they fell in love.
Yeah. And like the gossip or the story, the headline at the time was that Kevin booked his own divorce. That's what they called it.
It's a tough look.
He just kind of manifested that for himself.
Yeah, really.
Did we put kayfabe on the board? Is that a
yeah? Well, I guess my point was that like that kind of animosity toward the wrestlers and that kind of rivalry would really, and having to carry that all the time would really, really up the stakes. It like it tricks you from thinking, oh no, this is just a job, to this is my life.
Totally. Yeah. That now he's like, no, this is who I am now. I am this. Not to say that that's why he did it, but like,
no,
he is this, you know, heel villain person. And that bleeds into, you know, who you are in real life, even if that's not who you were before.
Right. You know, I mean, there just isn't that kind of, I mean, with the exception of method acting, I mean, there isn't really that kind of thing in other other parts of the entertainment industry. Do we want to call that the fourth wall, or like the the, you know, the illusion of performance? What do we call that, where they continue performing beyond the event itself?
Isn't that the kayfabe? Remember,
is that what we're gonna call it? Yeah, I guess that's what we'll call it.
I guess, and I just to be specific, I do feel like that for me translates more into the steroid abuse, right? Like having to keep up that kind of performance, that kind of appearance, to me puts a lot of pressure on the wrestler.
Okay.
Maybe the pressure of keeping kayfabe?
Or just even like the pressures of like the physical requirements of the job or demands of the job.
Yeah, physical demands of the job. Yeah. I mean, this will get into some more of what you'll probably talk about, Rebecca, but he was like notorious for being able to take a chair to the head.
Yeah.
And like certain wrestlers, I guess you hit him on the back because that's like standard protocol. Yeah. But he was like a tough guy, so.
No, dude, hit me in the head, actually.
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah, like I can take it.
Let's talk about that because that is really disturbing. Let's put steroid use up on the board, because that's the biggest speculation was that, you know, he abused steroids for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is linked to angry outbursts that are known as roid rage. And, you know, it just leads to, I guess, side effects are, you know, irritable, argumentative, violent behavior, aggressive, depression, so terrible side effects. And he had been okay. So when they tested after his death, his testosterone levels were 10 times the normal level, which indicated that he injected steroids a short period of time, possibly before the death. There was also Xanax, and I believe he was he had alcohol in his system. So when you mix all of those things, it's also.
I'm curious. Do you know if the roid rages come from like when you take the steroids, or if it just sort of pops up, you know, I guess in day-to-day life, like if you just are taking consistent steroids? I'm like curious about that.
Like if you like have a certain like peak like steroid like right. drug kind of thing, and that's when the roid rage comes, or if it's just
right
that's a good question. Constant level of
right roidness. Or is it exactly, does it just take your sort of base level of attitude and just take it up a notch. I mean, I wonder.
Well,
if,
here's an excerpt from okay. So when studies have been done on rats, according to Goldberg, this is a doctor who's been doing the studies. The rodents have become aggressive after being given steroids and frequently remain aggressive even once the drugs are no longer administered. But they agree that the fury is so intense it becomes lethal. That's uncommon, even in the worst case of steroid abuse. So
it sounds like if you have a mixture, I mean, this is me, my unprofessional opinion, but like if you have a cocktail of other emotional things going on and you're taking something that possibly is like a mood enhancer, it's not a good mix.
Right.
So it's not necessarily like you take a steroid and then you go kill someone, but if you have some heavy stuff going
on top of countless chair hits to the head.
Yeah,
not good.
And he's like mix. Substance abuse, regardless of the substance, is just problematic.
Right.
I also read somewhere that when you stop taking steroids, a side effect is potential suicide. So like, there's no win. It turns out there's no winning in any of it.
Steroids.
Well, yeah.
Except for those gains.
Except for how buff you look.
That's terrible.
Well, I feel like we should put Dr. Phil Aston up on the board because that was the doctor who, it's possible that he had stopped taking steroids and as a measure, as treatment, they were giving him testosterone. So this is from ESPN. Federal drug agents said that they raided the West Georgia office of a doctor who's prescribed testosterone to Benoit. Hours before the raid, Aston told the Associated Press he had treated Benoit for low testosterone levels. So I think this is what you're talking about, Deanna. It's possible that once you stop steroids, your testosterone levels go down. And then maybe that causes like depression or, you know, your hormones are all
over your body's out of whack. You're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So he, going on, which he said likely originated from previous steroid use, but he would not say what, if any, medications he prescribed to Benoit, who visited his office. In Aston's indictment, it stated that, quote, through prescription records from Mr. Benoit maintained at a pharmacy in Fayetteville, Georgia, Dr. Aston was identified as prescribing, on average, a 10-month supply of anabolic steroids to Mr. Benoit every 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
From May
4th
through May 9th, 2007. Mm. So that was just a month before.
I wonder if it is like drug use where your body builds up a resistance and then you need more and more, you know, like with like an opioid, you need more and more to actually like feel the high. Like, I wonder if that's how steroids work in a similar way. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you use a certain amount and then you just want to see more and more and you just keep pushing it, pushing it to
maybe that's become addicted to the gains. Side of it.
Yeah. Or you can no longer see it in the same way that you did when you first started it.
Right.
But let's talk about the physical strain that was imposed on his body. And honestly, that the wrestling sport kind of just by being, you know, just by being imposed on him. This is from an article in Vice. WWE was already on the way toward a more PG-rated product, but it accelerated by default after chair shots to the head. Those high-impact, high-drama blows to an unprotected skull began to appear after the Benoit autopsy. It needs to be stressed that those shots were a major part of WWE's physical storytelling in the years between 1997 and 2007. They were punctuation marks used whenever a bad guy needs to prove his savagery or a good guy wanted to show how invested he was in his righteous vengeance. Even as the hypersexualized atmosphere of the Attitude Era receded, the chair shot still thrived. It seems ludicrous and sad in retrospect to think that anyone ever believed that slamming steel onto people's skulls was anything but a terrible idea. Let me just read this real quick. The WWE refused to acknowledge that Benoit's wrestling career had directly led to his death. In a statement to ABC News, the wrestling organization insisted that, quote, someone with the brain of an 85-year-old with dementia would be unable to keep a traveling work schedule drive himself to arenas and perform intricate maneuvers in the ring, much less committed to a methodical murder suicide over a 48 hour period. So after this all happened, the organization erased Benoit's from its website, from its DVDs, from all of its historical references, and eventually changed their policies. So they're like, we didn't cause any of this, but also,
yeah, where's the proof? Yeah, we deleted it all, so you guys can't prove anything.
Right.
But also, look, yeah, at, and we don't want to be associated with him. Yeah. And also, we should change the things he did. We shouldn't do what he did anymore. Yeah.
But also, unrelated, we're going to stop doing this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. That's right.
There are so many wrestlers, famous wrestlers, who die early, you know, for not even just, you know, murder or suicide, whatever, but like, there, it's just the lifestyle is unhealthy, especially 90s wrestlers. Like, there's, they just don't, they did not live long. And I think it does, I mean, we already have it on the board, but like, goes back to the things that this company was making them do.
Yes. I put WWE Dangerous Physical Storytelling on the board because I think that was,
yes, I love that.
Liked. But just to reiterate what Deanna said, we did an episode on Owen Hart, who had an accidental death related to his career.
That's
as
so
a wrestler.
Messed up. Yeah. So didn't he fall to his death?
Yeah. I just feel like there's a real lack of, and maybe this is, we're kind of headed toward this, but like a lack of safety protocols, or a lack of, I think Chris said regulation earlier. Like, I just feel like that was really missing. It's like trial and error. Like, we'll just kind of like do things until someone gets hurt, and then we'll make the changes, versus thinking of the possible dangers and then creating a guideline. You know, it's a little backwards. I mean, that way.
The amount of brain damage that Chris Benoit had at this point, he was like 40 or 42. How old was he exactly, Chris?
Benoit, he was 43, I believe.
Was massive. I feel like we should put...
I'm sorry, he was 40.
40, okay. CTE slash brain damage up on the board.
Totally.
And just so we're all clear, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, is a brain disorder likely caused by repeat head injuries. It causes the death of nerve cells in the brain, known as degeneration. CTE gets worse over time. This is
from, big in football right now, right? This is
really
the same
big
kind
in
of
football, but
and this, hockey as well.
And hockey. So, I'm glad you mentioned that. This will give you an idea of how prevalent it is in wrestling. This is from CNN. From more than 50 former wrestlers filed a class action lawsuit against WWE in 2016. The complaint alleges that the former wrestlers suffer from long-term brain damage and the development of CTE, the Alzheimer's-like neurodegenerative disease associated with repeated hits to the head. This is from the National Library of Medicine. It is estimated that 1.5 to 4 million concussions occur due to sport each year in the United States. It has been estimated that approximately 17% of people with repetitive concussion or mild TBI, sports-related traumatic brain injury, develop CTE. So that's 17%. As of a review of pathologically confirmed cases of CTE in 2009, 90% were found in athletes. 85% of those athletes were boxers.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And 11% were football players.
Right. It's crazy. That's 90% of these confirmed cases of CTE were sports. I mean,
And 85% of that 90%
boxers, yeah.
Boxers.
Right.
And I would, you know, obviously boxing and wrestling are different, but
there are some similarities.
They're in the world. It's in the world. Right. If you're getting a head slammed that.
Right. And these are pathologically confirmed cases. That's not even, you know, cases that weren't confirmed or even studied.
Benoit told a friend that he suffered more concussions than he could count. So his friend had been like, I've had like 6 or 7. Mm. And he was like, I don't know how many I've had. And okay, it goes on. This is from Wrestling Inc. The head of neurosurgery at West Virginia University, Bales, studied Chris Benoit's brain and found that at the time of his death, Benoit had the brain of an 80-year-old suffering from severe Alzheimer's disease.
Right. Mm.
Damage was found in all four lobes of the brain and deep into the brain stem. Bales told ABC News, it was extensive throughout Chris's brain. This is something you should never see in a 40-year-old. Bales said that while he can't know for sure that the brain damage is the reason Benoit did what he did, he does believe it was a leading cause.
Right. And that, I guess that was the sort of quote that was being responded to by the WCW, yeah, saying, oh, an 85-year-old with dementia wouldn't be able to, whatever.
Yeah. Mm. But it's like, it's at the same time, it's like, to the attention, he didn't have dementia. He just had a brain that looked similar, right, to, you, right, know, so it's, right, like, yeah, they couldn't do, no, this or this or this. It's like, yeah, but this guy also, you know, there was 2 days after he killed his wife that he was answering texts and making phone calls and Googling, like,
right,
he had some lucidness to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting. So Joe Turner, who was a previous expert on our show, he reached out and sent a message saying, you know, I've written a lot about Chris Benoit, and it was a long message, but I'll read a portion of it. In my opinion, the only person to blame is Chris Benoit, but it's a cocktail of things that led to his eventual spiral into madness, all of which were Benoit's own doing, all of which were amplified by the wrestling culture at the time. And then he mentioned steroid abuse, but then he goes on to blame this. The second factor was Benoit's incredible sense of discipline. We know now that at the time of the murder-suicide, Benoit had the brain of an elderly Alzheimer's patient. If Benoit was a regular person, he'd have been housebound with round-the-clock care. But Benoit's sense of discipline allowed him reasonable control of his body and mental cognition, so no one could even tell anything was wrong until it was too late. Hmm. This sense of discipline comes from his roots in wrestling. He was trained in the Heart Dungeon and New Japan Dojo, both of which are known for being extremely harsh and unforgiving on the mind and body. Very few wrestlers who trained in the Heart Dungeon are still alive today, and it has nothing to do with age. Mm. Bret Hart and Chris Jericho are the notable exceptions because they're both still alive and well.
Mm. Wow. So like Deanna was saying before, like there's, yeah, this sort of almost like the body sort of
like a reflex, a, yeah, muscle reflex, mm-hmm,
is just sort of like in control to a certain degree.
Yeah. And also something like, I know this comes up a lot, but like the inability to ask for help or mental health or, right, access to mental, mm-hmm, health stuff available for wrestlers or men in general in the 90s,
yeah,
is probably another reason where it's just like, you know, he only ever did this and there was no way out, or so he, yeah, thought.
Completely.
He was, he expressed extreme paranoia during the months before the murder. He apparently was obsessing over child kidnappings, violent fans. This is from a documentary, Dark Side of the Ring. Benoit began to take different routes to the gym every day, as well as different routes home from the airport, fearing he was followed. Benoit even took different cars with each journey to evade who he thought was following him. Mm. He was just kind of like very, very paranoid, right, and his, yeah, family was starting to notice what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean,
I feel also, like, didn't his wife have like multiple police calls because of his anger or something like that?
She had filed for divorce in 2003, then dropped, you know, the divorce proceedings.
Because there were some parts when I was looking it up that I was like, this kind of sounds like OJ. Like certain parts of it, of like the police weren't doing anything, like, no, like she was in like this marriage that she was scared of her husband, and then this ending.
Because of his celebrity, they weren't, or why do you?
No, just because of like, because nobody believes women.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Sorry, yeah, to bring it up. Can we get a timestamp on that? How soon? I was just like, sexism.
Throw sexism up on the board. Come I also on. Think going back I mean, to yeah. Deanna's point about there not being sort of a room for conversation about this. There, we could blame sort of male pride or machismo, I guess, because there just isn't the vocabulary or culture within, you know, these groups. I mean, it just doesn't seem like there is for people to sort of express vulnerabilities and express weaknesses, ask for help, you know, that kind of thing.
I think that's a really important point here. And I think we should put, you know, the death of his best friend, Eddie Guerrero, up on the board.
Yeah. So he lost like three friends within a year.
Yeah.
Yes. Just, and they were all wrestlers.
All wrestlers who were dying from, you know, Eddie Guerrero died from a heart attack, I guess. And when the autopsy showed that he had an enlarged heart, which they is sometimes linked with drug use, so it could have been steroids, unclear. But he, you know, they would travel together. They were really close. And apparently the night or the, when Eddie passed away, they were in a hotel. And, you know, the last thing Chris said to him was, see you in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. And in the morning, you know, by the time they were supposed to leave, he's calling the nephew being like, where's Eddie? The nephew was also traveling with them. And the nephew was like literally in Eddie's room. They were trying to, he had died in his arms.
Ugh.
They had found him on the floor.
He was 38, Eddie Guerrero, when he died.
Young.
So young.
So young,
and
young.
And people said that after his death, Chris was never the same.
Right.
This is from othersite.com. Police investigating the Benoit home found the wrestler's personal journal in a trash can. As it turned out, this journal was gifted to him by his wife, Nancy, to help him cope with the ultimate loss of his longtime friend and gifted wrestler, Eddie Guerrero. Guerrero's death in 2005 due to acute heart failure at the age of 38 shocked the wrestling world and plunged Benoit into an inconsolable depressive state. Both wrestlers had been longtime friends, performing together around the world for many years prior to their stints in WWE. Many accounts, both private and public, detail Benoit's inconsolable state following Guerrero's death, a deep depression marked by unrelenting touring schedule that began just a day after the death of Guerrero. Benoit was rocked by intense grief that many people close to him say overshadowed his former self. Both Chris and Nancy had experienced significant losses in the inner circle before Guerrero's passing. Fellow wrestlers and training companions, Brian Pillman, 35, Owen Hart, 34, Brain Hildebrand, 37, the British Bulldog, 39. So, I mean, these are just all wrestlers dying in their 30s and 40s. They had died in a period of like five years, from 1997 to 2003.
Yeah. Right.
The list actually goes on.
There's a part two for the wrestlers that died.
There's like five more. It's like Road Warrior Hawk, Michael Hegstrand, 46, the Big Boss. I mean, that's a lot of people in your community.
I have a thought based on just that, like a broader thought that I feel maybe there's rumor on the board for, but it's something along the lines of like him and his colleagues really being kind of like a victim of circumstances or like a victim of this machine. And I feel like, unfortunately, he was at a time where there wasn't as much knowledge, or it was just like coming to the surface, and he was kind of a victim of that, but he was part of a machine that was making like very few at the top a lot of money. And there's a lot of people who are interested in this thing, like other sporting events. And it's sad because he kind of paid the ultimate price for it. But like, what's interesting now is like, now there's more and more of that information coming out about like CTE, brain damage, the stuff. And it's really kind of like, it's sad because it's like, you have to kind of turn it back on us, the viewer, and be like, when do we kind of stop tolerating the danger involved with this, this activity,
right?
Or demand some kind of change so that we can do it, but it's safer for the people who are kind of like putting themselves at risk for our entertainment.
Also safer for their families.
Yes.
Because these innocent people involved, like, it also paid the ultimate price.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll just say it. Why don't they use fake chairs? You know, like it's right. fake wrestling. Wrestling is fake, right. But they need a real chair to break over the guy's head.
No, exactly. We all know
there's
a great
fake glass in movies. Like, come on.
Oh my God.
We have the technology.
Good
no, that actually, that has to be real. And I guess right. I just don't know enough about wrestling because that needs to be legit.
Right.
Like that seems crazy.
Yeah.
Like Nerf brand chairs.
Well, just use some like styrofoam or something. Can't yeah. they make
That's part of the fantasy. We'll fill in the blanks. It's yeah. fine if it's yeah. a styrofoam chair. Embracing the fakeness.
Yeah, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay, so we're running out of time, you guys.
Okay. How are you feeling about the board?
I'm also going to say yeah. giving these performers names like Canadian Crippler and Rabid Wolverine. I don't like it, and I don't know if it's to blame, but it's definitely not doing a good job. Like, these right. hardcore names.
Right.
The other thing, it's the messaging. Vicious,
yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about the Crippler, too, which is crazy, was that he got that nickname after he almost paralyzed one of his fellow
That's
wrestlers.
A horrible.
Right.
And they're like, don't ever forget after. This day. Don't
yeah,
ever
they turn it into a
day.
Nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels like these guys in this line of work experience trauma like almost on a daily or weekly basis.
And then are forced to like play around with the trauma.
Right, like, right. Exactly. It's yeah. very, it feels very dark.
Because a lot of them are like young when they start, you know, teens or 20s. And then by the time they're 30 and 40, their bodies are just like worn mm-hmm.
right.
down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, yep. and to the point
and
about
they have
trauma.
No support.
Yeah, but to the point about trauma too, I think what's interesting about it is they're experiencing trauma from time, but it's probably, I would imagine from the organizers, like downplayed. So it's like, no, this is just part of the sport. This is just like mm-hmm. how it is. So mm-hmm. it's like, you're almost like not realizing, like if there are any rational person there, like a mental health expert, but like, this was actually really intense. I'm sure you have a lot of feelings about the fact that you almost broke that guy's neck. Like, let's talk mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. the fact that they nicknamed you after that traumatic event.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's doing HR for WWE, right? Or like, I would, honestly, that is, I would be so intrigued to know if they have somebody now to like help them or if they're just like, do
That's
that on your own time.
That's a great question. I'm so curious about that too. Because there has to be sort of external pressures like
yeah.
forcing
oh, yeah.
that. I mean, from the families of these performers.
And it just, it seems so like, we don't talk about that still, but I'm wondering if like behind the scenes they're like, actually, if you want to talk about it, we can. But it seems like that would be so, I hope it happens, but it seems like it probably wouldn't be a thing.
Right.
Right. Not something that there would be like mm-hmm. out upfront about.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have a good board. Why don't we take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the board.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, who's to blame for the Chris Benoit murder-suicide? Is it Chris Benoit, pressures of the wrestling industry, steroid abuse, Vince McMahon, kayfabe, physical demands of the job, Dr. Phil Aston, WWE physical strain, WWE dangerous physical storytelling, lack of safety protocols and regulation, CTE/brain damage, mental health access or lack thereof, sexism, machismo, the death of Eddie Guerrero, or not embracing the fakeness.
Well, we usually have an easy one to take off the list.
Yeah,
it's
we don't. Not I'm
not popping
seeing
out
one.
At me.
I mean, I think
like
know,
Vince McMahon and kayfabe can kind of like go in together, or like the pressures of the wrestling industry. Like that kind of all feels like they all belong in the same
right.
family.
Okay.
Do we put that into Vince McMahon, kayfabe, and pressures of wrestling industry?
Benoit bounced around between different wrestling organizations, so I don't know that this really goes under Vince McMahon.
I mean, he ultimately he was WWE in the end, but I yes, you're right. It was multiple other.
And he, you know, Vince McMahon has certainly profited the most off of these off of this industry, but I just don't think it's all on him.
Well, let's put it on. Just
are you worried that if we blame him,
industry.
That he's coming for you?
I'm very scared of him. He was like a
are you
villain.
Worried that if we send him to jail, he'll find you?
He shows up in my nightmares all the time. I was a kid; he was the bad guy, and
lots of
jail
left in the
head.
He never wrestled, right? Like he never.
Did actually really? When he was in his like executive position, he would work himself into like storylines and he would have scenes where he would wrestle. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, he wasn't like a wrestler per se.
Yeah. He wasn't like.
Yeah. Kind of the way that Stan Lee puts himself in the movie sometimes. It's kind of like that.
It's a little bit. Yeah. He does just its dash of perform, but he was a really, you know, convincing like actor. But anyway,
he was also method, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Like he would, in interviews or whatever, he would have to be like a mean guy. Yeah.
So then maybe we put Vince and kayfabe into the pressures of wrestling. Okay.
Let's do that. And the physical demands of the job as well, I think, can go into the pressures of wrestling. Mm-hmm. WWE physical strain. These all dangerous physical storytelling. I like that. Why don't we fold the physical strain? Lack of safety protocols and regulation. I mean, those are two different things, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that kind of is the same as WWE physical, dangerous physical storytelling.
Yeah,
it's just set in a different
fold
way.
Fold it into that.
Okay.
And again, I think WWE is just one of these organizations. There are about, you know, three or four that he performed, WCW and others.
So do we just put like wrestling?
Wrestling.
Dangerous.
Yeah. It really is, yeah. And
it's all around. It's
maybe
not
we just expand the pressures of wrestling industry to just the I just want to say wrestling in general, but maybe it feels a little too maybe we can keep those two separate actually, because there does seem to be two distinct things going on there.
Well, why don't we fold machismo into sexism?
Okay.
And I mean as much as we can't really blame the death of his friend.
Yeah. Because he had a journal.
Not getting help.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking that his wife gave him a journal. You know, obviously she tried in more ways than one to help him channel this grief and all of this pain and suffering he was going through.
That's terrible. Okay, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
Not embracing the fakeness. Should, can that be folded into anything? I feel like we might want to take that off the board.
Yeah. Because it's the same as kayfabe. Or it's like,
it could just go into the dangerous storytelling too, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To me, that the storytelling, the kayfabe and all that stuff is like, it's secondary to what the pressures he was putting himself under, which led to the steroid use and steroid abuse, which led to him sort of saying, okay, no, I'll take the chair hits to the head, which led to the CTE and like his just sort of like obsessiveness with being a great convincing wrestler to me was at the core of what led him to sort of have this extensive like CTE brain damage, like to, for his brain to be in the state where it was. If we now making the leap from that to like a double murder and a, you know, a suicide, to me is
that's a bit much because there are so many wrestlers out
there. Yeah. Although suicide is pretty, death by suicide is very common among people, or rather they find that, you know,
with brain injuries.
These athletes, a lot of them have brain injuries,
But it does sound like he was existing in the world of what we've termed must the show go on kind of ism.
Oh, the show must go on mentality.
Yeah, like he was so dedicated and not really seeing the like danger.
I guess that's true,
So I let's take sexism off the board. Look, we're going to, it's already in.
We don't like it.
Yeah.
We're not going to say it.
It's part of the wrestling culture.
Yeah. Sexism is actually kayfabe. So I would also say like,
oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's it. Like who killed his wife and kids? Like obviously it was Chris, but like I would even say like mental health access or lack thereof, brain damage could also just be like, it was him because of this and that.
Which then makes me think we can fold the dangers of dangerous physical storytelling and wrestling into the pressures of the wrestling industry.
And I also feel like we can take off mental health access or lack thereof, because while I do think that's like a really important thing, it seems like just like the physical nature of the job was causing physical damage to his brain.
I agree.
How do we feel about taking the doctor off the board?
Tough, right? Because he was administering the drugs.
But Chris was the one using the drugs.
And if not, if it wasn't that one, could he have gone to another doctor?
Yeah. Totally.
And was it not illegal at the time? Like they, some of the steroids were like deemed illegal later. Did I read that or did I make that up?
I don't know that I can.
I think
I can look into that.
During 2007, that was already illegal in 2007. Maybe not in the beginning when he started taking the steroids.
Sure.
But I think they had already started to.
I mean, like his initial, like if he'd been abusing for years and years, right? But I guess, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but I don't know if Dr. Phil Aston
was doing
had
that.
Given the original.
Yeah. And like I say, if it wasn't him, it might have been some other doctor. It could have been anybody else at the in wrestling that can get him those types of drugs.
Yeah, the problem is bigger than that one doctor. It's like the amount of doctors that are willing to do that, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm. So we take him off?
Yeah. So then we're left with Chris Benoit, the pressures of the wrestling industry, steroid abuse, and CTE/brain damage. And here's where I'm at. I think we send Chris Benoit to the alarmist jail, and I think we slap CTE and brain damage caused by wrestling.
Okay.
CTE, brain damage caused by the wrestling industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
You like that?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to call it. CTE/brain damage caused by the wrestling industry. You're getting the big slap. Chris Benoit, you're going to the alarmist jail. And there you have it. Deanna.
Feels good.
I mean,
feels good to send someone to jail.
It feels good.
It is funny because like it's the so first person sad. We put on the board, we're like, he's going to jail. It's so sad.
It's so sad.
It's such a sad story.
So many things could have helped stop this along the way. And the fact that these two innocent people were murdered is just so terrible. It's so dark.
Because also like, imagine if he was born a couple years later. Like if this story took place in 2012 or 13, he might have had the help that he needed. He might have gotten the help that he needed, which is so messed up.
Yeah. Well, Deanna, we couldn't have done this without you.
Thank you so much.
This is so sad, but also so fun. It's a bit somber.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit somber than what you're used to, but we'll have you on for a fun one next time.
That was great. I mean, well, the first time I was on it, I did Thanksgiving, and we did how great and amazing and giving Thanksgiving is. Now it's just like, this two ends of the spectrum. I'm having a
blast. You needed the real experience. That's why we brought you back.
And I was like, when can I be funny?
She was smiling a little too much. Yeah. Let's have her back. But thanks, Deanna.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me.
In the aftermath, following the murders, WWE erased Chris Benoit from its history and never mentioned his name again. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram, @thealarmistpodcast, and on Twitter, @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey, and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing Megan the Movie. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.